It's 5 o'clock Wednesday. Welcome to Joyful Echo with Jean and Kathleen on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, where we gather together as sisters in friendship to echo God's love. Now here are your hosts, Jean and Kathleen.
Hey ladies, this is Jean.
Hi, this is Kathleen. Happy Easter.
Yes, happy Easter. Time flies.
Yes, it does.
But thankful for that.
There were times in Lent when it felt like...
Yes.
How many weeks?
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe that was just me.
Nope. That was the birth of our sweet little grandbaby and just that transition, welcoming a new one into our family, but the upheaval that a new one little...
Yes. Beautiful,
so
lovely, godly chaos.
Yes. Good. Gorgeous. Yeah. Oh, love that little one. Mm.
Well, Jean, on the last episode, at the end, you remarked about reminding everyone that on Good Friday started the novena for the Divine Mercy, and Divine Mercy Sunday is going to be coming up, so this coming Sunday.
Yes.
And that dovetails very nicely into what I wanted to talk about today. So I know that you know, our listeners may not know, in our homeschool community, our local homeschool community, I have been teaching a history course for I don't know how many years. But this year for high school, it's American history, and it's like from the Civil War forward. And in preparation for that class, I was putting together little video things. You know, technology mm-hmm. is different in the classroom than it was when I started doing this. And so I'm able to show clips from events, you know, that were in the news at that time or speeches that were given. They can see video clips. And the one that I was able to pull up was a news story that was live with a much younger Peter Jennings. Those of you who are around our age will remember Peter Jennings.
Oh my goodness, younger.
And they were broadcasting live from St. Peter's Square, waiting on the election of the new pope after Pope John Paul I had died.
Wow.
And so it was 1978.
Yes.
And of course, we know who was to be elected, Pope St. John Paul II. But at that time, all of those people were gathered in St. Peter's Square waiting, and they had seen the chimney and black smoke. So those of you who maybe are new to the faith and haven't experienced this, after a pope has died, there's a new election, and that gathering of the cardinals electing the next pope is called a conclave. Mm-hmm. So there's a conclave, and the cardinals vote. Those who are younger than a certain age, I want to say it's 80. I think after you're 80 years old, even though you're a cardinal, you're not voting on who the next pope is going to be. And it's secret ballot, and they gather all of the ballots. If there is not a successor chosen on that ballot, they burn those ballots, and the smoke that comes out of the chimney is black. Mm-hmm. And so all of the people, it usually takes several ballots depending on, you know, which year, but several ballots. So they had been watching black smoke. And then during the broadcast, white smoke. And there is this exuberance that you can see on the video of all of these people, clergy, religious sisters who just happened to be there or traveled there for this purpose, lay people, young people, older people, so excited. And Peter Jennings is, you know, we're not sure who this is going to be. We'll have to see. And, you know, back then you couldn't just look stuff up on the internet really quickly.
Really,
if a name came up that you weren't familiar with, you can't Google that name and have the information, you know, right at your fingertips. So then when the cardinal comes out to announce and he says those beautiful words saying, "We have a pope," and the cheer that goes up, I mean, I was a child when Pope St. John Paul was
in
elected.
High school.
You were like in high school. Okay.
I was in the library. I remember.
Do you remember that?
I remember very vividly. I remember the sun coming in the window. I remember just the depth of that. And I was young. I mean, like, and I really wasn't. I was a practicing Catholic, but, you know, just in high school.
Yeah.
And just like, wow, we have a Pope. Like, the world stood still.
It really did. I mean, and like
I grew up in the South here like you did, too.
Right. Everybody else is in the library going, what's she so excited about?
Yeah. Like, I know exactly where I am. I can see it in my mind's eye right now. Yeah.
Habemus Papam, right? Yeah. We have a Pope. And then he comes out and he says those words. And then he says who it is. That it's Cardinal Wojtyła. Mm-hmm. And Peter Jennings, God bless him, and he was very humble in that moment of saying, I don't think I can pronounce his name right. So he has someone on the phone, you know, a priest, and I can't remember his name, who, you know, was like the consultant for the broadcast, who did know who that was, that he was the Archbishop of Krakow, and, you know, he knew a little bit more about who he was. But poor Peter had no idea. He was, like most of the world, he was expecting...
An Italian Pope.
An Italian name.
That's right.
Right? Wojtyła, it does end in a vowel there, but it does not sound Italian at all, and was not. And then the discussion on the broadcast about how... This is our first pope from a country that at that time was considered in the Eastern Bloc.
Right.
Right. It was under Soviet authority. And what that meant, and that it was a Polish pope, and that it was a non-Italian even, was a huge deal. It had been in hundreds of years since a non-Italian had been elected. And so there was this, you know, buzz then. Mm-hmm. And then they come out and they... unfurl this cloth over the balcony, and I'm sure it has a name, but I don't know what it's called. And so now you know he's coming. He's going to be coming. And out steps this man who, now again, as a child, I remember people making a big deal out of him being young. But to me...
He was old.
He looked old.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
he was older than my dad. So, you know.
He was in his 50s.
He was. Mm-hmm. And so now, of course, I'm looking at this film and out steps this young guy.
Right,
who looks
right.
like, you know, we could have gone out to dinner with him the other night. Kind of, he's very much age-wise in our general friend circle. And the crowd went
ballistic.
They did. They just went wild for him. And then he spoke to them in Italian. In Italian.
He could speak, what, five languages?
I don't remember how many, but he was
multilingual,
if that was it. He said a couple things that were noteworthy and memorable for me. One was, because he spoke in Italian, at one point he said, I'm speaking to you in your... And then he cut himself off. He was going to say, in your Italian language or tongue. Mm. And what he said instead, he cut himself off and he said, our Italian tongue. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because he was the Bishop of Rome.
Right, right.
And the people thought that was just wonderful. And it really did. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the right thing to say. It revealed something true about his heart, which I'm sure the people in Krakow and Warsaw and other places in Poland knew about him already, but the rest of the world would come to find out over the length of his pontificate how true those words were to what was really and genuinely in his heart. And then the other thing that he said that struck me was, he said at first he was afraid. At first he was afraid. I can't even imagine. No. I will never experience what that is like. But on some very small level, I can connect with the idea of having something placed on you that couldn't come to you except by the Lord, for sure, right? There's no mistaking it. And to feel that sense of fear. of not a fear that's born not out of it's not, as the scriptures say, it's not a servile fear. Mm-mm. It's a filial fear. Mm-hmm. It's the fear of a son who loves his father, mm-hmm. facing a father who has just entrusted him mm-hmm. with a mission that is important to the father and precious to the mm-hmm. father, and has just given this affirmation of you, right? In this case of Archbishop Cardinal Wojtyła. And you don't want to blow it because you love him so mm-hmm. much. Not mm-hmm. because you think he's going to be mad at you mm-hmm. or anything like that, but because you love him so much, you want so desperately to prove yourself worthy of his trust.
That's right. And then what does he say? He says, be not afraid.
Well, and you know,
I love that.
That also spoke to how he was going to live his life and live the mission that was given to him. Mm-hmm. He reigned for such a long time in my life, and he had such a profound, still has such a profound influence on the church.
Yes.
That.
Yes.
You know, I just can't, words fail me when I start to think of all the ways in which he touched the church and, mm-hmm. and still. Thanks be to God, as saint now, we mm-hmm. can say mm-hmm. from heaven, mm-hmm. still touches us and still intercedes for us. And there is a part of me, as we enter into this very short term, it'll be future, or it's future now, but it will be present very, very soon in the church, when a lot of people are feeling unsure mm-hmm. about what's happening mm-hmm. and they read things and they hear things and, you know, did you see this on the internet? Did you hear what happened with this person?
We have
person
almost
or that
too much
person?
Information now.
So much information.
It's over the top.
But there is a part of me for sure that, I don't know, like I know he's on our side.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
I don't mean that in any way to take away from the Lord's providence, which obviously is the only thing, you know, we can really rely on. But there's something fraternal mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In me that really takes heart, knowing that he is now in the presence of the beatific vision. Mm-hmm. His love for the Lord is completely perfect. Mm-hmm. He is in full communion with the Lord, and he intercedes for us because anything that he felt he couldn't do because of his own personal faults or failings mm-hmm. while he was the Holy Father, the Vicar of Christ, now...
Oh, it does it perfection.
Right. Yeah. Now he's free from all of those mm-hmm. all of those constraints and limitations, and now his intercession, he is going to burn with love for Christ's church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. And I love his book Crossing the Threshold of Hope. Mm-hmm. He speaks so plainly about be not afraid. Mm-hmm. And I just, that's a challenge to all you all listening. Wear that cloak well. Mm-hmm. Be not afraid. That is the robe in the prodigal son that you inherited by Jesus dying on the cross.
Oh, I love that, Jean. Is that original? Did you just come up with that now?
I think the Holy Spirit did. But
I love that. All right, we're going to have to go to break, but you might need to write that down because I'm going to want you to say it again when we come back.
As fast as it comes, as fast as it goes.
I know. That's why I'm saying write it down. Join us for the rest of Joyful Echo. We'll be right back.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event, with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Hello, ladies. This is Kathleen. We were just talking about that beautiful moment, Habemus Papam, when we saw for the first time Pope Saint John Paul II when he was announced as the Holy Father back in 1978. And as we were speaking right at the end before we went to break, Jean was talking about his response to, you know, the fear that he felt at first when he learned that that he had been elected to be the vicar of Christ. And then, Jean, you were saying, be not afraid, right, was what was given to him. And then you had a wonderful and profound insight. Please share it with us again.
Well, the insight that just came over me is we need to wear the cloak. The cloak, be not afraid. That is what we inherited when Jesus rose. He died for us for that, for us to not wear a cloak of shame or fear. It is the finest robe that the Lord talks about in the prodigal son. Put on the finest robe, the cloak. Be not afraid.
And you said it's a cloak of hope.
It's a cloak of right? hope.
And immediately in my mind, I went to Joseph being given the coat of many colors, right?
Yes.
And then the prodigal son, right?
Yes.
Get a cloak to put around him. And that cloak of hope in so many ways then is the appropriate image for Pope Saint John Paul II, right? Who would be the pope, we didn't know it at that time,
right?
Who would be the pope who would bring to the world, not just the Polish people, but to the world, the words, the image of Saint Faustina, our Lord through her, of divine mercy.
That's right.
And of course, what is mercy? But it's that movement of love to fill what is lacking.
That's right. That's right. And we lack nothing. We lack nothing. And I think this is very important for our world today. There's so much talk of confusion. Stop talking about the confusion and start talking about the promises. Mm-hmm. This is promise. The promises that our Lord won for us on the cross, that is our inheritance as a baptized daughter of the Father. I have incredible promises given to me by our Lord. I need to focus on those promises to make a difference in the kingdom. In the kingdom, mm-hmm. in the world that I'm living in now, I'm journeying towards the kingdom, but I do not need to live in fear. And that's what John Paul II has said. Be not afraid. Be not afraid.
Sometimes we can fall into that temptation of looking at even God's mercy, mm-hmm. especially here as we approach Divine Mercy Sunday. And all that we can think of, or the predominant thought that we have when we talk about God's mercy, is how wretched we are,
how much we
need His mercy. And we do, mm-hmm. and we are. But what we forget, or what mm-hmm. gets put on the in the back, is that divine mercy is really a celebration of His willingness and ability to fill in.
That's right.
What we lack. Yes, we lack in the sense of we have faults and failings. Mm-hmm. But as you said, as the scriptures say, we lack nothing because He is a loving Father who is filled with mercy toward His children.
And this is Easter. Ladies, we are still in the octave of Easter. We need to speak a different language that speaks the hope of the resurrection.
Right.
This has got to be our language.
Yes. What more does He have to do?
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that to beat you up, but but if you are still, you still have some residue on you from Lent, or some residue of shame because there are things that you know you could do better, or you've done in the past, or whatever that is, what else does He need to do to prove to you that He loves you? That He wants to spend eternity in communion with you. That He will stop at nothing pursuit of your heart. Nothing.
No. And you can't work it out like that. It doesn't work that way. There's nothing you can do, my friends.
Mm-mm.
I'm so sorry.
He's done it all.
He's done it. Our Lord has done it. And so much. I love Him because John Paul II, who I love, had that great ability to see beyond, right?
Mm-hmm,
and he noticed this beautiful saint, Faustina, and he ordains her as the saint during his pontificate.
Right, she's canonized.
She's canonized
that time.
During mm-hmm. his time, and he is known as the Mercy Pope. I mean, he speaks to the mercy of God so much. In our physical body, merciful. I mean, beyond. We could talk forever, right?
Yes.
But this Sunday coming up, our sweet John Paul II has said, hey, listen, let us make this Sunday the Sunday of divine mercy, because he mm-hmm. knew he had the foresight to see that we were going to need it in our time.
Yes. And yes. There are things that He may not have known the particulars about, but there were things, inspirations that the Holy Spirit shared with Him, things to write, things to say, things to do, that are coming to flower now.
Oh, now. Absolutely.
Right? And in the future, we're so used to thinking what's happening right now.
Right now. Exactly. And so Faustina becomes a saint while he is the Pope. And in the diary of Saint Faustina, Jesus wants a Sunday 8 days after the resurrection called Divine Mercy Sunday, where it is so simple. Everybody mm-hmm, that goes mm-hmm. to Mass that day and receives Holy Communion and meditates on the 3 o'clock hour,
mm-hmm.
all temporal punishment due to sin is removed.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other.
Mercy.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's no other promise made by our Lord for that day. Again, in our world today.
What like, more? What more could He do?
Right, what more? It's like being baptized all over again. Like all temporal punishment due to sin is removed.
Right. And if you are still whether you're a new listener or you've been listening for a while and you're still not sure about where St. Faustina and the message of Divine Mercy and all of those things fit into our Catholic faith or the hope for the world, I would recommend for sure that you check out any of the videos by Father Chris Alar.
Yes, most definitely.
And the Shrine to Divine Mercy that's up in Massachusetts. Anything that comes out of there, that is their apostolate.
Yes, yes.
You know, reminding the world of his loving mercy.
Yes, yes. And yes, and this is what... this is what just, when I went to Medjugorje back in 1990, hearing about Faustina for the first time, like I was, you know, and just learning about this great mercy for that the Lord, he forgives everything. And I cannot say enough about the Sunday after Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday. It's powerful. Don't miss out on this.
And it is, I mean, it's a day to celebrate within the octave of the resurrection, within the season of Easter, the resurrection. This is the time. This is the time to give the Father all glory.
That's right.
And when we hold back, when we walk around with our faces down and all that, we are somehow witnessing, probably unintentionally, to the world that there's still stuff to be sad about. That there, and I don't mean that in a flippant way, of course there's sorrow, but that somehow we don't know how this is all going to work out. We don't know if our Heavenly Father is going to come to our rescue. We are stressed. There's no need for that. There's no need for that. Let this Divine Mercy Sunday be that reminder for you that your witness to the Father's goodness and the Father's all-powerful nature is important in the world.
Now, how do you find out? All of the churches will be speaking in their homilies this Sunday about Divine Mercy Sunday.
Should be, yes.
And you'll be receiving Holy Communion. And what do you do? At the 3 o'clock hour, there'll be many churches having ceremonies and services for joining in and honoring the picture, Jesus, I trust in you, and praying the chaplet, the chaplet. You can do that at your home.
Yeah, you can have people over.
Yes,
you can just gather with your family.
But celebrating this beautiful Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday, the promises are life-changing. Life-changing. We don't want to miss out on honoring this Sunday.
No, and if you are going to be on your own at home, and maybe you have loved ones you would like to join you, but they're not willing to join you, okay, you know, offer that suffering to the Lord, because that's a real suffering, but do it in hope.
That's right.
Do it in hope, knowing that, look at what you're celebrating. You're
that's
celebrating
right.
His mercy. He's got this.
He's got this.
He's got this.
He's got this.
Let's take this to prayer.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I think I'm just going to open up with the ending prayer of the chaplet. Oh gosh, it's escaping me. Oh, that's such.
It's hard to just jump in with that right at the end.
No,
we're
because
used to
it's the
building
beginning.
To it.
It's the beginning, but we can maybe do a decade of the chaplet, which would be great.
I don't think we have that much time.
We don't have that much time. All right, Lord Jesus, we just trust in you. We trust in your goodness. And your love, we just thank you and ask so much that sweet St. John Paul II, pray for us. St. Faustina, pray for us. We need your help. We need your help to spread the hope that you spoke so much about, Lord, through these beautiful, beautiful witnesses of your hope in our world in a time when so much chaos was happening. And we thank you, Lord, for their grace that they are praying for us, and that we want to just be open to spread. We want to wear the cloak of hope that we walk through, and that we are not thermometers that change our way and our temperature and our emotions on what the world is saying, but we want to be the thermostat that changes the environment that we walk into with your spirit of hope, Lord. Give us that grace to be able to do so. We thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm remembering the prayer. Eternal Father, in whom mercy is endless.
And the treasury of compassion inexhaustible.
Look kindly upon us, that in difficult
moments,
that in difficult moments we might not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for these menopausal moments, Lord.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, my goodness. That is so crazy. It's the first, it's like the first word or the first two words when it's out of order and you can't remember them.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Yes. There's our humility moment.
That's
for,
all right.
For this
we'll
show.
Take it. All right, ladies.
Please join us next week for a new episode of Joyful Echo. It will still be the Easter season.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm waiting for Pentecost, Holy Spirit.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
All right, ladies. Thank you.
Have a blessed week.